My name is Garland Robinson, and the subject is Give Me the Bible. Do you love the Bible? Can you honestly say, Give me the Bible? You know, a lot of people say they want the Bible, but yet in reality they do not. A lot of people say, Give me the Bible, but what they mean is only when they're in distress, only when they're in calamity, only when fear comes, only when they're about to die. But yet we need the Bible every day of our lives. When we think about it, is the Bible only a book for emergencies? Do we lay it on the shelf? Do we put it in the closet? Do we tuck it away and never look at it unless we're in trouble? Unless our soul is in anguish? Do we use it like a fire extinguisher? Do we kind of tuck it away and never think about it? Only except when there's a fire, and then we'll grab that thing and try to make it work, and we don't even know how to use it. Do we use it like a life jacket? We may be drowning in the water, and we will want a life jacket. Is that only time that we want the Bible? Do we have no use for God except on our own terms? Do we wish to simply waste our lives, and then when it's of no value to us any longer, then we expect God to gently welcome us on into that throne room of heaven? Surely we don't want it that way. Nonetheless, a lot of people live it that way. Oh, they say, give me the Bible, but only in emergency. But friend, the Bible is a book for right now. It is God's book, and it's for the here and the now. Notice in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, beginning in verse 24 and reading through verse 32, a number of good statements here made. Here God is saying, Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would heed none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. But notice what God says. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You know what God's telling us here? Don't use Him only in an emergency. All people try desperately to follow their own way. They want to give a token response to God and to the Lord. But yet when God pleads for people to heed, for people to love, for people to do good, and often people do not. God stretches out His hand, nobody cares about it. They turn the Word of God and despise it. They will not heed it. And then God says, one of these days the table is going to be turned. And when you cry out in calamity, when you're having a hard time, He said, I'm not going to listen to you. You're not listening to me now? He said, I'm not going to listen to you then. They shall call upon me, he said in verse 28 of Proverbs 1. But he said, I will not answer. They will seek me. He says, they're not going to find me. Why? Verse 29 tells us, for they hated knowledge. Well, what knowledge is that? That's the knowledge of the Word of God. That's the knowledge of righteousness that God instructs us to do. For they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not heed any of my counsel, they despised my reproof. And therefore, he says, you're going to call up on me, and I'll not hear you. What a tragedy that is. Friend, don't say, give me the Bible, only in times of distress, in times of fear, in times of calamity, or in times of need. In the book of Hosea, we read, in chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. The Bible is the manual for the operating of this planet Earth. And people ignore it, people despise it, people reject it, people scorn and mock and laugh at it. And then one of these days, when we're dead, we stand before the judge of all the earth, we'll realize what God desires and wants us to do. But friend, it'll be too late then. As people turn their backs and lives and hearts against God, He likewise will do the same. That's not hard. That's not cruel. Because God is a loving God. God is a compassionate God. And the Bible is so clear on the fact that those who turn their lives around, those who will put away their stubborn pride, put away their selfishness, they'll humble themselves before God, bow down before Him, give homage and praise and glory unto Him, God will abundantly pardon. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that's the key, coming to repentance. We've got to go to God on His terms, not on our terms. And when we reject His divine counsel, when we turn away from the book of life, the book that gives us the instruction, the only means God has of communicating unto us. Friend, there are no prophets today. There are no dreams or visions. There are no miraculous events by which God reveals His will unto us today. The way God communicates is in His holy book, the Bible. Jesus died. At least one of the purposes for Him coming and dying on the cross was to take away the Old Testament that He might establish a New Testament. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10 so clearly point out. Jesus died and nailed the old law to the cross. He provided a new law. It's called a testament. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 to 17, we read that the will of the Lord is the New Testament, which He sealed with His own blood. And when He died, that's the means by which He communicates unto us. The apostles and others of the first century were inspired by the Holy Spirit to reveal the will of God. That will is recorded, it's written down in the Bible, it is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, complete unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. So, the way we know how to please God is to follow His way, to look in His Scripture, to love His truth, and apply that in our own lives. We also read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 6 to 9, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Friend, those members of the church at Thessalonica were being persecuted. They were in dire straits and circumstances. Because they loved the Lord, because they were obeying His will, because they dared to live above the immorality and the wickedness of their day, they were being persecuted. And He says, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation, to pay back those who were causing trouble in the church there and who were persecuting them. And he says, those who are faithful, those who are my children, he says, take comfort, rest, because one of these days the tables are going to be turned. One of these days the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and it'll be in flaming fire. It won't be as the Lamb of God. It'll be as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He'll come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that do not know God, those that do not obey His gospel, and they will be punished with everlasting destruction. Friend, that's throughout eternity. It will be with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. So friend, don't be guilty of using the Bible, wanting the Bible, only when it's convenient, only when fear and trouble comes your way. Live it every day of your life. We also read in John chapter 3 and verse 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Here we find two distinct relationships. One that believes on the Lord, not simply believe. James points out in chapter 2 that belief only is no more than the devils do. They even believe and tremble. But faith without works is dead. Belief that is not grounded in action, obedience, is nothing. It's futile. So he uses that word here as a figure of speech called a synecdoche, the part standing for the whole. So he that believeth, that is truly one who is complying with the Lord's will have everlasting life. But those who do not do that will not see life, and the wrath of God abides on them. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, again, this is pointed out that though Jesus were the Son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect thereby, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. For you see, belief is nothing of itself. God will save those who obey his will. So don't just use the Bible in times of distress or calamity or fear, but you use it every day of your life, because without obedience, God will not save you. Friend, that is our desire, to please the Lord and say, give me the Bible in every way, in everything, in every day that I live. This has been Garland Robinson.